Good morning.
Good morning.
It is good to be here. Just thinking how much I would much prefer to have been here with you all last week as well. It is wonderful to be here. John 10:27 says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me." I joined the Marine Corps soon after, it was about a year or so after getting out of high school. And it didn't take me very long to realize that we had some babysitters that were serious. We called them drill instructors. And they were involved in our life from morning to evening, sometimes even in the middle of the night. They were very much involved. We were continually hearing them speak, sometimes rather loudly. We'd hear them in the morning. You know, for the very first thing, that was our alarm clock, was their voice. Sometimes they added some clanging trash cans periodically. We would hear their voice when we were marching to go eat. We'd hear their voice as we were marching to go to learn something, to be educated in some way or some kind of training. They were continually in the background, everything that we were doing. Our days were filled with marching back and forth and learning new things, and continually they were there. And often, as you can see in this picture, they were very near. When you hear someone's voice as often as we heard it, it is amazing how you begin to recognize their voice and be able to differentiate that voice from anyone else's voice. You get to understand exactly what it sounds like. It's interesting how the human voices are. They are different. They're all different. There's little differences. And they wanted to test us. Some other drill instructor from another unit would slide in behind us and start barking out orders to see whether we'd respond or not. And sadly, a few times we did, but in time we learned. We learned there was one voice. Well, actually, at times we had more than one. Sometimes we had, I think at one time we had up to 5 drill instructors with us. But we learned their voices. And we learned that it was their voice that we were supposed to respond to. And if we didn't respond, there was consequences. And also, if we responded to others' voices, there were consequences. Jesus warns us in John chapter 10, there are many other voices out there who are wanting to lead us. I think he would also say, the Word of God teaches us, there's an inner voice, right? There's our own fleshly desires that is also a voice that wants to lead us astray. They each have their own ulterior motives. But Jesus here comforts us and tells us, "My sheep, they come to know my voice." This morning we're going to be reading from John chapter 10, beginning with verse 7. But first I want to give you this little visual. This is sort of an illustration of what Jesus is talking about here. You see a shepherd, you see a small pen, and a shepherd sitting in the doorway, and the sheep inside the pen. So you see, the shepherd is not only a shepherd, but he is also the doorway. Jesus is telling us this morning, as we read from John chapter 10, that he wants to be the doorway, our doorway, and truthfully is the only true doorway to the sheepfold that he's drawing us to, and also that he is our shepherd. John chapter 10, beginning with verse 7. "So Jesus again said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. I want to read that sentence again. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. Guide us this morning as we take time to read about your Son, to read about his words. Help each of us to take something from this. Help us to realize the importance of listening to his voice. Guide us that we may recognize it so clearly that when other voices are speaking that are drawing us away, we can recognize them as evil and unhealthy. Lord, if there be anybody here this morning who has not yet made that decision to step forward and to choose to be one of your sheep, let this be that day. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Think about what's going on in politics today a little bit, if you listen, which I can say honestly, I'm not paying a whole lot of attention to much of it, because a lot of us, not much is being said. It's just a bunch of words and stuff back and forth. But quite often, if you, and this is not just in politics, it's in just about any subject you can find it to be true. It just seems to be, you know, because it's election time, it's first and foremost, if you turn your television on for a couple minutes, that when you're listening to some news station will put forward a piece of what someone said. And isn't it interesting that you can flip over to another channel and you'll hear something else that someone said? It may be in the same speech. And depending upon which channel you're listening to, they're going to put forward the things that they want you to hear about that speech. Have you ever been there that where you've heard someone said such and such, and you find yourself thinking a certain way, then you go back and you realize the whole extent of what was said, and you realize that was hugely taken out of context. It was unfair to use that one little word or that one little sentence to say this is what they said. Because much of what they said before and what they said after, it really helps you understand what's being said, puts it into context. Right? Have you seen that? I've seen that so many times. You hear something that somebody said, and then you go back and you listen to the full speech, and you're like, boy, they got that way wrong. And truthfully, probably they didn't get it wrong. They wanted you to hear that one particular portion of that speech because they wanted you to think a certain way. People were being sucked into these different directions of thinking a certain way. It's scary what's going on in this world today. You know, it's been going on since the beginning of time. People have been trying to mislead us. It's just so now you can pull your phone up, you flip on your TV, you turn your radio on, and it's just coming from all different directions. All of these different voices. And I want to tell you, they're not out for your own good. They're out for their own good. That's what you got to understand. I don't care what channel you're listening to. These people are trying to push you into a certain box to think a certain way. Can you understand why it's so important for us to listen to the voice of God? we want to proclaim ourselves to be sheep of Jesus Christ, then we need to be listening to His voice and allow everything else that's coming in to sort of maybe drift in and drift back out, or at least help us put it into context. But I say all that to bring something into mind concerning your studying the Word of God. You know, I can just as easily mislead you if I pull out one verse, one word, one verse, one chapter, even one book. Listen, I want to tell you, God, I read from Genesis to Revelation. If you truly want to understand what God wants you to do in your life, you need to be spending time Genesis to Revelation. I know I don't understand it. You know what? I'm right there with you. There's some things I don't understand either. But I want to tell you, much of what I find I don't understand is because I'm not spending enough time in it. It takes work. You have to work at it. But in our scripture this morning, something to keep in mind about what Jesus here is talking about in this idea of Him being the sheep, or excuse me, Him being the door, Him being the shepherd. Just prior to this, John, in John's gospel, Jesus had healed a man who was blind. So keep that in mind. Let's bring this into context. He had just healed a man who was blind. And now Jesus says, I'm the shepherd. Listen to my voice. And then afterwards, which you're not going to read this morning, afterwards, the religious leaders that day begin to suggest that he's demonic. Or that he's insane. They wanted to question or toss aside what he's saying. Listen, I want to share, this is a little side issue, but it's just touched my heart, is that, you know, the Word of God speaks of, Jesus speaks of an unpardonable sin. And I really believe that's exactly what he's talking about in this case, in the same similar manner that somebody, these religious leaders who were listening that day and hear Jesus saying that, they were attributing what he said to being evil or useless, of no value. Now understand, there's a spiritual truth to this unpardonable sin, right? Jesus said it, it's true, it's something important, but there's also a practical side to that. Let me think about it. If I go to Lim and I say, Lim, how do I get to your house? And he says, well, here, it's right here. You just turn this way, turn this way, turn that way. And if I already have decided I don't believe what he says, can I ever find his house? Right? The Lord Jesus Christ here is telling the religious leaders of that day, and he's telling us this morning, I am the shepherd. I'm the way. I am the truth. I am the life. There are so many other voices out there, and they're going to be coming at you. They're going to be coming at you from all different directions. Again, even you can't even trust yourself. You need to weigh it against what the Lord Jesus Christ says. He is the shepherd. Jesus has given us a pathway to life. And he says here in these verses, not just life, but abundant life. Amen. This is the life that I'm trying to get you to find. But you got to follow me. We must acknowledge that it's good stuff, right? That the words he shares is of value. It will bring us no value if we do not put it into practice in life. You know, think of someone in a desert who's given a glass of water. If you don't take a drink of it, you're not going to get any value of it. And I would also say concerning that glass, you got to drink it all. You got to take it all. Don't be picking and choosing. You got to take it all. In our text this morning, again, Jesus tells the religious leaders of his day that he is the shepherd. And the shepherd is many things to the sheep. He's a protector. Protecting them from others. He's the guide. He knows where the luscious green grass is. He knows where the watering holes are. And he keeps watch over his sheep. He does this so that they can be sheep. Right? Sheep were not meant to be their own shepherd. Now, I've heard people, you know, say this, I'm not sheep. I'm not a sheep. Quite often they're talking about the concept of other things going on in the world where someone's trying to get them to do something. I want to tell you this morning, if you want to proclaim to yourself you're not sheep, then you cannot be a follower of Jesus Christ. Yeah. A follower of Jesus Christ needs to be a sheep, and that is, we've got to recognize that I don't have it figured out and I need help. You're not going to get that help unless you acknowledge that you are sheep. And in that sense, yes, you are Can I say it? You're dumb, right? We're all dumb. We all need help. He created us that way. We need Him. We need the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
I need the Lord Jesus Christ. Shepherd was a title used for some of the kings of Israel. Now keep in mind, he's speaking to Jews. So when he said shepherd, this meant something to them. They knew their Bible. Shepherd was a terminology that was used for kings. Again, as caretakers, as watching over the people of their realm. King David, you may know, wrote Psalm 23. If you go back and read Psalm 23, much of that is talking about the writer, David, is saying, the Lord is my shepherd. You see, yes, in one sense, the king was the shepherd of Israel. Just as we would say our president is our shepherd, right? We would say the same thing of our governor. We'd say the same of our mayor, right? We'd say the same of our workplace. Those people in authority are our shepherds. But understand, it is necessary, David realized that, for truly them to lead us in the way that they ought to be leading us to us, they need to be going to the real and true shepherd. And that's God Himself. And can you see when Jesus now is standing before them, these Jews knew what a shepherd meant and knew that ultimately that was talking about God. And Jesus says to them, I am the true shepherd. Can you see what kind of a statement that was? He said to them, I'm the shepherd. You need to be following me. Yes. Yes, follow God, but understand, in following God, if you want to truly follow God, Jesus says it begins and ends with me. Follow me. Jesus was getting the first century Jews to understand this. Early in the chapter, John records that Jesus reminds them what a shepherd does for the sheep. For instance, he knows them by name. The shepherd knows the sheep by name. Focusing on how the sheep hear the voice of the shepherd and follow them. And he tells them, I am the door. See this picture here showing this luscious grass going out into the field. Jesus says, I'm the door. You got to come through me in order to get to this luscious grass, in order to get, as what he said and what we read, to get to abundant life. There is but one pathway to abundant life. Understand, there are many paths in this world. There are many voices that are trying to guide you to think a certain way, to go a certain way, to live a certain way. And Jesus is saying, I'm the doorway. You need to come through me to find abundant life. The abundant life that every one of us wants to have. We all want to find a place of peace. We all want to find a sense of joy in our life. We all want to find a sense of purpose. Jesus is saying, that comes through me. I'm the door. And it's important for you to note this morning that your pastor is not the door. This church is not the door. Our country, as fine as you might think our country is, it's not the door. It is Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ alone.
Amen.
So if you find yourself being a part of a group of individuals that are leading you in another direction, then you understand that's not Jesus Christ. There are many people today who try to utilize the term Christian or Jesus or utilize the Bible that aren't truly following Jesus. Jesus is the door. Jesus and Jesus alone is the door. And praise God, the pathway is open to all who call upon the name of Jesus. You know, he was talking about that other sheepfold. Understand, he's speaking to the Jews of that day. And who's that other sheepfold? We're part of that. Praise God. He's saying, the whole world. I'm open. Jesus says, I'm open to the whole world. The door's there. I'm calling upon you. Praise God, Jesus doesn't just open the door to abundant life. He's there with you, guiding you. He says, I am the shepherd. And all others that came before me and are still coming at us, and even unto today, and will be until the Lord decides it's done, it's finished. All of the other voices that are coming after you are not speaking to your benefit. It is only the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, they sound enticing. The Bible even says that sin is fun for a season. Right? There are many things in your life that you can find a sense of fun for a season. But in time, you're going to realize it doesn't truly lead you to those luscious green grass, to the abundant life that God has for you. They all sound enticing. That's what a salesman is supposed to do. And I'm not picking on salesmen. You got a job to do. You got to sell things. That's your role. But understand, when you're trying to sell things, and generally you have an intention. An intention of getting some individual to buy what you're selling. Just in the same way, again, I hate to delve into politics, but isn't it true that the politicians, regardless, and some of them may even really care for you and want what's right, but to some extent, some of what they're shoving at you is to tempt you to vote for them, right? All of these other voices, they have an ulterior motives. It is but the Lord Jesus Christ that has nothing but good in mind for you. Everything that He would guide you to do is always going to be good for you. Now listen, in this world, in this life you will have trouble. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not sitting here trying to tell you that if you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and follow Him, that nothing as bad is going to happen to you. It's quite the opposite. Jesus says, in this life you will have trouble, right? And some of the followers of Jesus Christ were crucified, stoned to death, chopped in half. I don't want to tell you, if you live very long, you realize that life is hard, and I don't care whether you're following Christ or not following Christ, life is hard. We live in a broken world, but Jesus Christ is saying, I'm going to come alongside you. Trust me. Trust me that eventually, if you follow me, I'm going to lead you to the luscious grass. I'm going to take you to a place where you'll have a sense of peace in your heart, even in the midst of a world that seems like it's going to the toilet. I can still help you find peace in the midst of it. And then ultimately that eternal life where peace will be in abundance, and there will be nothing, none of those troubling things that are going to happen in life go aside. But for right now, yes, we do have trouble. But I want to tell you, He can give you a sense of peace in the midst of what's happening in your life. He has come to give abundant life. The other voices are out there for their own good. And notice, He says, they will scatter in time when you realize they're not getting what they want out of you. I remember a friend of mine, a co-worker of mine one time, comes to me and he's mad at somebody. And he starts in, such and such did this, and you would not believe what he said, going on, and then he pauses for a minute, and he looks, and he realizes I'm not responding. And he says, there's no use talking to you about it. I'm on somebody else. I thought, exactly, that's what I want. I don't want to sit there and beat up somebody else. It took all the fun out of it. You know, those voices that are chasing after you, pressing you, pushing you. You know, when you show interest, no interest to them, then they're also going to lose interest in you. But Jesus, He's always out for your own good. And notice, He knows who call upon Him. He is a personal God. This is not just some entity that made a decision and is allowing us to just roll along on life. He knows us personally. I know them, and they know me. The sheep learn the voice of the shepherd so they can respond when He calls. And they learn not to listen to other voices. Again, like I was saying in boot camp in the Marine Corps, I began to learn there's one voice, or our own drill instructors. Those are the voices I need to respond to. That's what's best. That's what's going to lead me to make my life at peace, or as peaceful as it can be, right, in boot camp. That's the voice I need to listen to. The sheep learn the voice, and they respond. They learn not to listen to the other voices. And it's not that they learn all of the other voices and learn them well. No, they focus on learning the one true voice. If you stay focused on that, then everything else will begin to fall away. And you'll recognize it not to be coming from the Lord Jesus Christ. They know his voice, and he knows there, and he hears them when they cry. He compares this to a two-way street of knowing and being known with his relationship with the Father. Again, it's not on the screen, but I want to look at verse 14 and 15 again. John chapter 10, verse 14, it says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Do you get that? I know my own, and mine own know me. Just as, he says, the Father knows me, and I know the Father. Can you envision any more special relationship than between God the Father and God the Son? And he says, that's the kind of relationship I want to have with you. As you come to know my voice, and listen, I know your voice. He's God. He knows your voice. Come to know my voice. I want to have that kind of relationship that I have with my Heavenly Father. Jesus loves his sheep with a love that is hard to comprehend. To be honest with you, I sit up here sometimes and I feel totally inadequate to try to talk to you about the love of Jesus Christ and what he's done for you. It's beyond for us, really, from a human standpoint, I think, to truly grasp. You can sense it, right? You ever been around someone and you know they loved you? Maybe you couldn't really explain why or how, but you just knew it. That's the kind of love the Lord Jesus Christ wants to have for you. He says, I lay down my life for the sheep. And if you know your Bible, this is referring to his soon-to-be arrest and him being crucified on the cross. He's going to die for his sheep. And notice what's important here. Again, get into the context. He's speaking to these religious leaders who just saw him heal somebody. He said he's the shepherd. He says, I'm going to die. This is going to happen. And listen, I'm making that choice. And then they go on to say, I don't recognize your voice. You're demonic. You're insane. He says, listen, I'm laying down my life. This is my choice. So when you see that happening, you imagine some of those Jews who had no interest in the Lord Jesus Christ had to at least come back to those words. He said it was going to happen. Jesus says, I do this of my own accord. Understand, you think you're in control of this world. You think that you're going to stop what I'm doing. As a matter of fact, what you're doing is going to bring it about. Isn't it wonderful that our God can take something that you think is the absolute worst thing that could ever happen, and he can turn around and make it powerful and actually bring about what he intended to happen in the first place? Amen. He's saying, listen, prepare yourself. I'm going to lay down my life. And I imagine then they were scratching their head thinking, What do you mean you're laying? What does that mean? I believe a few days later when he died on the cross, surely there were some of those that were sitting there thinking, he said this was going to happen. He does it of his own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up. That's the kind of God I serve. That's the kind of Jesus that I'm following. He has authority to lay down his life, but praise God, he also has authority, and he did bring it back up. Just in the same way that he says he will do for you and I, if we trust him. Are you trusting him this morning? Jesus is the door. He's a good shepherd who lays down his life. He knows his own, and his own know him. Do you know him this morning? Don't listen to the news channels or social media for wisdom in this life. Now listen, I'm not saying that it is evil for you to ever turn on the TV or open your phone or look at social media. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying you should take everything that you hear and filter it through. What would Jesus say in the midst of this? What's the Word of God say concerning these issues? Filter it all through him. Listen to Jesus Christ, and his word is found as in this book. And again, I would tell you this morning, don't listen to me. Don't listen to your pastor. Now, there's no doubt in my mind that there's some of you that when you walk out of this building, you're going to look at me. Look, what I said is no different than any other speech. And I understand that. You're going to pick and choose. Do you like what he said? Do I not like what he said? Am I going to put it into practice? I'm not going to put it into practice. I'm saying don't listen to me. Listen to the Lord Jesus Christ. But understand, if what I said comes from his word, then understand when you ignore what I say, you're not ignoring me. You're not hurting me a bit. You're hurting yourself. And you're going against the Lord Jesus Christ. If what I say can be backed by the Word of God, and can you see why it's so important for you to read it yourself so that you're not being misled in this world? If you've read it for yourself and then you hear the pastor say, understand, that's God speaking to you. Amen. He's saying, listen, that's what the Word of God says. And listen, that guy right there, he's saying some things that matches what my Word says. He is the sheep. I'm not the sheep. The shepherd. I'm just one of his sheep, just the same as you are. I'm filling a role, just as you're called to fill a role as one of his sheep. There's so many voices out there today coming at us from all different directions. I want to ask you this morning, how often are you listening for his voice? How often are you cracking open your Bible? Did you do it this week? Did you do it this month? We live in a country and we live in a time where we've got no excuse for not hearing from the Word of God.
Amen.
If you can't read, then you can get it on audio. And listen, there's anybody here right now that says that they don't have it on audio or they don't have a book, come to me, I'll get you one. We can listen to it in our car. We have no excuse for not hearing the Word of God. And yes, read Leviticus. Go through it all. It's all valuable. Keep mining it. I've read through it many times. I'm not counting, but I've read through it many times. And I'm still learning. I still pick something up and I say, I didn't see that. And listen, I'm telling you, if you're not coming to Wednesday night Bible studies, you're missing out.
Amen.
I'm dearly loving our Wednesday night Bible studies. I'm loving it in a way that I've never loved before. Teaching, I've always enjoyed teaching, but I can tell you that our current class and our current conversations that's happening, we're all learning. At least I can say that from my perspective. I walk out of there quite often feeling like I've learned two or three things about the Word of God that I didn't see, even though I spent time studying and preparing and went there with the expectation I'm going to explain it, and then I hear things back. I hear other ideas. We're putting stuff together. We're thinking about other aspects of the Word of God. You want to avoid being misled by other voices? Right there's how you do it. Yes, you should come to church. Yes, you should be part of Bible study. But I want to tell you, you'll never truly grow in your faith until you make a decision to make a commitment to break it open in your own homes, in your own cars, in your own workplaces. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your love, your mercy, your grace. We thank you for being that voice, Father, and we apologize at times when we're not listening. Help us to grow in our faith. Help us to grow. Give us more of a desire to listen. Help us to push aside all those other voices that are barking into our ears so that we can much more clear hear from you. Lord, if there be anybody here this morning who's not yet made that first step of faith and says, I want Jesus to be my shepherd, let this be the day. Help them to recognize that you have intentions of bringing them to abundant life. We thank and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
What do we have this morning? I have decided to follow Jesus. I hope that's true. I hope that's true for you.